Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast, go to YouTube feed, 94WIP, check it out there live. We are live every day, 6A to 6P, live on YouTube. Check out the shows, morning show, into the midday show, into the afternoon show. Interact with the chat. A lot of people watching lately, so we appreciate you being part of that community. However you listen, consume, watch the shows, that's all great with us at WIP. So appreciate that. Check out the YouTube page, 94WIP. All right, so I wanted to go over some of the rule changes, love or hate, some of the rule changes, tweaks the NFL made for the 2025 season. We know they've tabled the idea of the tush push, and they're probably going to, you know, force everyone to vote Goodell's way and the NFL's way come May. I fully expect tush push to be out of the NFL this coming season. I think they're going to get this out because they want it out, even though there's no logical reason right now to push this out of the NFL. So I do believe the tush push is going to end up banned, but it's not yet. That's maybe, you know, sometime in the month of May. They also tabled the Lions proposal for the reseeding of the postseason and changing how they seed. I didn't love that. I think divisions need to matter. Late season division games need to matter. They need to have big, big meaning, not tiny meaning, but big meaning. So hopefully that doesn't get changed. We did have some things changed though. In fact, four changes to the NFL rulebook for the 2025 season. Let's go over them and let's start with the touchbacks. So touchbacks will now come back to the 35-yard line, come out to the 35-yard line. So let's just say week one of the season, Eagles Thursday Night Football, the kickoff special, Eagles and Lions and Lincoln Financial Field, you know, whatever the game's going to be. Eagles Rams, Lincoln Financial Field, Eagles Commanders, whoever they're going to play week one, Eagles defer to the second half. They kick it off to start the game. Jake Elliott booms it out of the end zone while Jared Goff and the Lions, or Stafford and the Rams, or Daniels and the Commanders, they will take the ball at the 35-yard line. So clearly this is a push, another push from the NFL, to make the kickoff return part of football again. They tried this last year. It worked to some degree, but they're even going to more incentivize it now by saying, really, it's pretty much a penalty to kick the ball out of the end zone. I mean, it was brought up yesterday in the midday show. Kyle brought it up that, you know, the illegal procedure, kicking the ball out of bounds, is the 40. So they have made the touchback almost as prohibitive as kicking the ball out of bounds. you know, when the ball would accidentally go out of bounds before the end zone and, you know, go on the 2 or 3. That's how, you know, how the Patriots, you know, really basically won one of the Super Bowls, where John Casey, the Panthers, the 03 season, January 04, kicked it out of bounds. And it let Tom Brady and Vinatieri set up on the 40 to start that drive. And they won one of those one of those Super Bowls with ease. But that's basically where the ball is, 35-yard line and a touchback. So I don't like this. Love it, hate it. I hate this one because it's too the touchback has become too prohibitive. I know they want to increase kickoffs. And last year they changed the kickoff and then where everyone's standing and they think it's going to be safer now and all that kind of stuff. And maybe it will be, and that's wonderful. But you can't force it. And you can't put the ball at the 35-yard line. We're talking now, and I know last year was more of a defensive year in the NFL, so maybe this is a double whammy where they want to increase offense, so they're going to put the ball in the 35. But we're talking now about if the ball's in the 35. Let's say you do get a touchback. Ball on the 35-yard line? I mean, goodness gracious, you are 25 yards away from legitimate field goal range. 25 yards, that's the drive to score? I just feel like, you know, we've gone from 20 to 25 to 30 to 35 pretty darn quickly here in terms of the touchback. What's next? The 40? I mean, you're basically at midfield. Midfield on a touchback. I know they had to do something here. The kicker had become so good. The kickers have become so strong. Touchbacks have become almost so commonplace. They want to increase the kickoff. They want to make it a play with action. I understand all that. They think they found the way to make it safer by lining the players up in different ways. They've taken the wedge out. So they've solved that issue, but they can't get people to actually kick the ball to where someone will try to return it. I think it will lead to a little more action, lead to a little more fun, but ultimately 35. I hate that number more than the speed. The spirit's fine. I understand the spirit of where they're doing with this and what they're trying to do. Excuse me. I don't mind that, but I do hate the 35 as the spot after the touchback. That is way, 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 way too much. All right, overtime. I'm going to love this one. At first, I was a little skeptical because of the wear and tear on players for a full quarter potentially. But I do like the uniformity. So now overtime, both teams will get a possession no matter if the first team scores a touchdown or not. It's going to be like overtime in the playoffs, which we saw in the Super Bowl a couple years ago with the 49ers and the Chiefs. So both teams guaranteed a possession in overtime, no matter what, even if the first team scores a touchdown. Now, if the first team scores a touchdown, second team matches them, we could go to that third possession, and that will decide the game there. Now, what's interesting about this, while I think it's a good thing, I love it, it's fair, all that, I do think it's going to represent a challenge and also represent a betting opportunity on the back end of this. So historically, teams that play in overtime struggle. They struggle the next week. It's a historical trend, betting against the spread. You want to bet against the team that just went to overtime, especially if the team they're playing the next week is not coming off overtime. It's just that wear and tear of that, those extra possessions matter in the NFL. Well, now it's the wear and tear of at least two possessions. So both your offense and your defense, no matter what, they're going to play more football in that overtime. That's a no matter what. Now you factor in, let's say that game goes the three possessions. Let's say it goes touchdown, touchdown, and then the other team gets the ball, and then away we go. I mean, you could have some ties next season. You could have full five quarters of football next season. If you go off that into a short week, you're in a major disadvantage, even if you're not going into a short week. It's just a regular week. It is a body toll for that those two teams. So I love it from a couple of perspectives. One, I think it brings more fairness. Two, I think it brings a lot of excitement because overtime now, like the Super Bowl a couple years ago, will have a lot of excitement attached to it. And three, it's going to represent a betting opportunity if you want to jump on it. Because what I would do is, you know, look ahead lines are at FanDuel and they're typically up pretty quickly after the first slate of games for a week into the next week. And what I would do is I would probably at this point hop on as soon, and I mean as soon as the NFL regular week is over, as soon as the Sunday slate is over, you know, the 4 o'clock Sunday slate is over, And boom, it's like, okay, the lines are up for the next week. And they'll probably bake some of this in, but you might get a number where it's like, okay, let's say Chiefs and Chargers played nearly a five-quarter game. Both offenses had multiple possessions. Both defenses obviously had multiple possessions. Five-quarter game on a Sunday. Next Sunday, it's Chargers at Broncos. And the look ahead was Chargers -1, -2. I would jump on that plus number on the Broncos in a heartbeat. You might jump on it anyway because it's a home dog in a division game. But the point is you're getting a drained team that might have to go on the road again to another division opponent. I think that's going to be critical. So it's a betting opportunity and it's also more fair. Let's go to love on that one. So I hate the touchback at the 35. Love the no overtime rule. Let's go to replay assist. Okay, so replay assist now, they're going to give the opportunity for New York to kind of signal down to the referee to help them pick up a flag where they've thrown it and it's wrong. Let's say the quarterback is running and he's about to go out of bounds and he gets shoved, they throw the flag. And you and I on TV and New York watching realizes he was not out of bounds. That was a bad call. Now, instead of going through the histrionics of screaming and yelling about it, they could just quickly say, hey, he was in bounds, pick that flag up. And it's a quick no-nonsense thing. Now, with both this and the next thing, I have a big picture problem with too much technology in pro sports. I think we are sanitizing the game too much. I think we're losing an element of the real feel and human error. So I'm going to be out on both of these, and we'll get to the replay assist in a second. We'll get to the Hawkeye thing in a second. Look, I think when it comes to technology, it's a fine line, because if you and I and every fan watching has the ability to see if the call was right, and the only person that doesn't have that ability is the person making the call, it does create a problem, because it's a no-win for the referee. They're supposed to get it right. If they don't, we know they got it wrong so quickly, and we can berate them for it. But there is something about human beings make the plays at a high speed. Human beings call what they see at a high speed, and we play the game, and we react. I also think it's fun that referees sometimes are the bad guys. It gives us a compelling character in all this. You know, I love, on Fridays before an Eagles game on the midday show, and we talk about screwed or saved. Are we screwed or saved with the referee assignment? Are certain refs, you know, a little more favorable to the home team, to the road team? Human element, human emotion come into that. The idea of a referee being swayed a little bit by the crowd. If you start helping the referee out and taking away some of the things that they do, we're going to do this in baseball with the automated ball strike system sooner than later. Robots take over. It takes away that element, that really unique element that is only prevalent in sports, where you have that and we argue about it and we scream about it, and there's something fun about it. I don't know how else to say it. There's something fun about the referee being the bad guy and us talking about it and us debating, was he in or was he out? And us talking about a bad call. Not that I want the calls to be wrong. We all want the calls to be right. I just think we're going too far with this. And just because we have the ability to change things with technology doesn't mean we have to change things with technology. I feel like this is like an AI thing, like in real life. Just because we have this amazing technology now doesn't mean we have to use it at every single turn. It's like when you have a conversation with someone and you're just going back and forth, and it used to be, I think this, I think that. Now it's like, well, I'm going to look this up, you're wrong. And it just cuts the conversation off. And it's just, there's a lost art. And I think in sports, that art is fun. It makes the being a fan fun, that you could see it and you could react. You say, he got it wrong. And then we complain about it the next day instead of, well, he got it wrong, but then someone immediately told him, hey, you're wrong, and he fixed it. Okay. I guess, I mean, if that's what we want to do, and we want to make things perfectly efficient, okay, I think we're going to miss the old way. And the last one is the Hawkeye. And look, to be fair, this one is the least important one, because it's just more of an efficiency thing than it is anything that should, in a significant way, change the game. But they're going to use Hawkeye technology now to decide whether or not the ball that's spotted is actually a first down. So like in place of the chain gang, where they used to run out. You know, let's say it's a 3rd and 9. You throw a pass over the middle to Goddard. He catches it, dives forward, reaches out with the ball. He got the 8 or 9 yards, depending on where they spot it. They spot the football, and then it's close. And the chain gang runs out, and they stretch the chains out, and you kind of see it there. And now we're just going to have technology in the football based on where it's placed. Is that exactly the 10-yard thing? Is it exactly where it needs to be? Boom, first down or not. And this is, it's more efficient. It's going to do make things move faster. But I think we are losing the drama in sports. I think we're losing it minute by minute, day by day, advancement by advancement. I wrote about this in my email newsletter this morning. We're losing something when we have to get things to be so perfectly efficient that the humans aren't part of it anymore. And there was something really fun about the chain gang running out. Like last year, 4th down, the Josh Allen tush push sneak, trying to get the first down, they spot it, and then here comes the chain gang. And you're sitting on the edge of your seat as a fan, wondering when that one end of the chain stretches out and they put that right next to the ball, is the ball going to be over the end of the chain or is it going to be slightly short? And that reaction from the crowd and everyone on the edge of their seat, and then the crowd going crazy, the players in the field going crazy, the other side dejected when they see the chain stretch out and they realize we don't got it. There's something to that that is fun, that makes you can't look away from the TV, that you don't want to miss it. And now it's going to be like, well, they'll just tell you if it's a first down and you get up and walk away until the next play. Or you could change the channel to the next play. Or you could go to the other room and someone's could just tell you, yeah, they got it. The technology said they got it. I don't know. I just, what's the reason? What's the point? Because we have this technology? Okay. Just because you have something doesn't mean you need to take the drama out of sports. I think these leagues are, there's that fine line between efficiency and real life, and tapping into the fan and tapping into what the fan loves to experience. And there's something about the chain gang, and it's not them, it's the reaction to them that's going to make, I think we're going to miss it. I'm going to miss that. I think it's something that really has been a part of the NFL forever. And to take it away in the name of a little technology feels silly to me. Appreciate everyone listening, because I hate that one. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, the YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.